Recently in the Daf Yomi, we finished the sugyas of Bishul B'Shabbos. You'll excuse me, I'm not feeling so great. So and there's Bishul D'Araisa, and then we know that there are two different halachas which are considered Bishul M'Dirabanan. So tonight we're going to talk about one of those sugyas which is called Bishul M'Dirabanan, and that is the Isser of Shehiya on Shabbos. So we're going to get into this sugya tonight. What is the story with Shehiya? Now, just to give the background about Shehiya, we have a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us as follows, which is the first of the entries on the source sheet. The Mishnah tells us the following: Beishamay Yomrim, a famous machlokis Beishamay Bishal, which has very big nafgaminas lahalacha and halacha lemaisa even bismanazet. Beishamay hold, ain sharon diobas samamanim. A person is not allowed to leave something soaking in the dye or in the spices or in kashinin, in the dyeing elements. I'm only allowed to leave something soaking in a bucket with dye. I'm only allowed to leave my jacket in a bucket with dye if it had enough time that it actually could have all become dyed before Shabbos. But Beis Hillel Matir, and Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, no, what melacha am I doing on Shabbos itself? As long as I set up the whole system before Shabbos, and now Shabbos sets in and the coat is not yet dyed because it didn't have enough time to absorb, there's nothing wrong with that because I myself did not do anything. Says the Gemara, Beishamay Omrim, Ein parsim metzudas chaya va'ofos v'dagim al kadei sheyatzudim yibad yom. Similarly, Beishamay believes a person is not permitted to put out traps to trap animals before Shabbos. Why? Because the malach is going to be done on Shabbos. So Beis Hillel Matir. And says the Gemara, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, Poskim Mayim Legina. We have this all the time. We open a sprinkler system, right? So we have it on a clock, and it's going before Shabbos. So Beis Shammai hold that that is an improper thing to do before Shabbos. Why? Because we know that it's going to fill up with water. Mismalas v'alechas kolayim kulo. And Beis Shammai also says, Manichim mugmer tachas akelim miskam v'holchem kolayim kulo. But Beis Hillel disagrees, and Beis Hillel says, you're allowed to set up a system before, even if we know that that is going to end up doing malach on Shabbos. The last example the Gemara gives is putting medication. Let's say a person has some sort of wound and he needs to put some sort of medication and it's going to take a few hours for the medication to get absorbed into the skin. Beis Shammai holds that's a problem. Beis Hillel holds that is okay. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara over there does say that if Beis Shammai believes that there's an isser of shvisas kelim on Shabbos, which seems clear from here, not only do I have an isser to do malacha myself, I have an isser that my kelim, my utensils, my vessels are also not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. So the question begs itself, like the Gemara asks, how does Beis Shammai ever understand how a person is able to light Shabbos candles? Obvious question, right? We know that we have to light Shabbos candles because of kavod, because of oneg, whatever, that's a shaila in the Beis Halevi. What's the reason for the Shabbos candles? But the bottom line is that everyone lights Shabbos candles. So had Beis Shammai light Shabbos candles, if Beis Shammai believed that my kelim are not allowed to do malach on Shabbos, so what's the story? I light the candle before Shabbos, and it goes into Shabbos itself. Why is that any different than putting my jacket into the dye and allowing the system to continue over Shabbos? So the Gemara answers a very surprising answer. Ibai mafker lehu. I can, every Shabbos, light candles on Friday, mafker the candles, and leave them in my house. So now it's not my kelim doing malach, which is a pella, which means that Beis Shammai really sticks to this principle and believes that a person is not allowed to have his kelim do malacha, insofar as he will tell us that one is also not allowed to light Shabbos candles that belong to himself. He's just allowed to light the candles, be mafker them, say that they don't belong to him anymore, thank you. And then, Beis Shammai, only under those circumstances would Beis Shammai permit a person to light his Shabbos candles. Very interesting halacha. If you look in the Tshuva's Binyan Shlomo, it's a very fascinating Kasha that the Binyan Shlomo asked in Siman Tes Zayin. Now we have to know a little background. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah Daf Yadalid a bunch of things that when it comes to interacting with non-Jews, there are a bunch of different halachas. When are we allowed to buy things from them? When are we allowed to sell things to them? So the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah Daf Yadalid Amud Beis, Ein mochrim behema gasa la'ovid kachavim. We're never allowed to sell a behema gasa to an ovid kachavim. What's a behema gasa? So behema gasa is a cow, let's say, right? So a person is not allowed to sell a cow to an Ovid Kachavim. And the Mishnah does not tell us the reason why. Says the Gemara, after a whole lengthy explanation, Tazvav and Manalev, so the Gemara tells us, the Maskana is, the reason you're not allowed to sell a Behema Gasa to an Akum is because, Gzeira Mishem Shelo Schiris. What does that mean? So the Gemara comes to the Maskana there, to that Schiris Lokanya, when I rent something from somebody, so I'm not really the owner, I'm just the renter. The owner is the person who I rented it from. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Schiris Lokanya, When I rent something from another person, I am not kone. And therefore, we have a concern as follows. If I'm going to sell my animals to a non-Jew, so it's a gzeira mishum shelo schiros. Maybe before Shabbos, I'm also going to rent an animal to a non-Jew, and he's going to end up using it on Shabbos, and it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to me. So the Gemara says we have a concern that my animals are going to be doing malacha on Shabbos. So therefore, as a gzeira midrabanan, because we want a person to stay away from lending his animals, from renting his animals to a non-Jew, so we tell him he's never allowed to sell an animal to a Jew either. Gzeira midrabanan. Okay. So ask the Binyan Shlomo as follows, a brilliant kasha. He says, if that's correct, that we tell you, we don't allow you to ever rent or to ever lend an animal to a non-Jew because we're afraid you're going to sell it to him. I'm sorry, backwards. We never allow you to sell it to him because we're afraid you're going to lend it or rent it to him. So ask the Binyan Shlomo, what's the story over here? Beis Shammai says, my kelim, there's an isur shvisas kelim shabbos. Ask the Binyan Shlomo, did anyone ever say that according to Beis Shammai, I should never ever be allowed to sell a keli to a non-Jew because we should have a gzeira that maybe I'm going to rent it to him, maybe I'm going to lend it to him, and he's going to do malacha with my kelim on Shabbos? According to Beis Hillel, this whole question doesn't come in the first place. Why? Because Beis Hillel holds there's no isur shvisas kelim on Shabbos. I don't care if my kelim do malacha. As long as I'm not involved in the malacha per se, it's fine. But if you learn like Beis Shammai that there is an isur d'araisa for my kelim to be doing malacha on Shabbos, so why don't we compare this to the sugi in Avodah Zarah and say, the same way in Avodah Zarah we tell a person, you're not allowed to ever sell an animal to a non-Jew because we're afraid, mishum shelo schiros. So over here also we should say, according to Beis Shammai, a person is not allowed to sell a keli to a non-Jew, mishum shelo schiros.
Wait, what's the way Beis Shammai says it's d'oraisa?
Oh, so that's a very good kasha. The Gemara says it's not so pasha that it's d'oraisa. Right, so that's a good kasha. So the Gemara does say a couple of shitas, whether or not Beis Shammai shitas d'oraisa. Rabbi Yosef over there in the Gemara says, on Yud Chesam Abayis, he learns it out from a pasuk, and he says, Beis Shammai holds that it's d'oraisa. It's a good kasha. If he holds d'rabbanan, there's nothing to talk about. It's only the premise of all this is, only if you hold that Beis Shammai is it in d'oraisa. So, that's the kasha of the Binyan Shlomo. So, the teretz that the Binyan Shlomo gives, and I just want to spice it up a little bit by adding a little bit more from the Rishonim, the teretz is as follows. There's a difference, b'yisod, between, this is all just the background, before we get into Shehiyah, so the we're just going to talk a little bit about Shvisas Kelim Shabbos, just to fill you in. So, the answer to this kasha probably is the following. That there's a difference, b'yisod, between the Isser of Shvisas Behemto and the Isser of Shvisas Kelim. What does that mean? So if you look in the Rush there, this is not a Bekiyas, this is the Rush in that sugya over there in Shvisas Kelim, the Rush writes as follows. In explaining the Shita of the Rif, the Rush understands that the only time Beis Shammai assume that there's a problem of Shvisas Kelim B'Shabbos is only if a Jew sets up a system. Let's say, I go before Shabbos and turn on my sprinkler system, and now the whole Shabbos is going to be going, so we say, according to Beis Shammai, that would be a problem. What's the halach if, let's say, a non-Jew goes and turns on my sprinkler system? Or a non-Jew decides to borrow my sprinkler and turn it on in his field? So what's the halach then? So, I would have said, well, it's my kelim. Beis Shammai would hold that my kelim is a problem. No. Zakt the Rush, Bedas Arif, that no. The only time Shvisas kelim is a problem is if the Yisrael started the malacha, b'kelim shal Yisrael. But if a non-Jew started the malacha, so then we don't have a concern. So what does that mean? So I think the Hezber HaDavar in what the Rush is saying is based on the Ritva in that sugi. The Ritva over there writes that we find a concept very rarely in Shas. We find this concept that there's such a thing as a Syag de Araisa. Most of the times when we have Xera, it's Xera de Rabbanan. The Chazal were concerned a person is going to violate a certain Isser. So they said, stay away from X, because if you don't stay away from X, it's going to bring you to Y. Sometimes, rarely, but sometimes we have in Chazal that they point out to us that we have Xera de Araisa, that the Torah itself said, stay away from X because you're going to lead yourself to Y, which is a very rare type of thing. Rabbi Yosef Engel collects a whole bunch of examples where we find that, but here is one of those examples. Rabbi Yosef Engel doesn't quote this, but this is one of those examples. The Ritva says, why did the Torah tell me that according to Beis Shammai there's an Isser Shvisas Kelim Shabbos? Because we're concerned that if you use your Kelim on Shabbos, you're going to end up, I'm sorry, if your Kelim are doing Malach on Shabbos, you're going to end up doing a Malach yourself on Shabbos. So it's a Syag D'Araisa. That's what the Ritva points out in this Sugya. That's why Beis Shammai holds that Shvisas Kelim is an Isser D'Araisa, because the Torah was concerned that maybe if you're going to have your Kelim doing Malacha, you're going to go ahead and do Malacha yourself as well. So based on that, we can understand why the Rush sees some sort of distinction between a non-Jew doing a malacha and my kelim, and a Jew doing a malacha my kelim. If a Jew is doing malacha on his, if malacha is being done and the Jew started it, so the Jew is going to go a few minutes later and do the malacha himself. But if the non-Jew started the whole thing and it just happens to be done with my kelim, so maybe there's not such a concern. With that in mind, maybe we can answer the Binyan Shlomo's question. Again, the Binyan Shlomo set up this apparent stira between the two sugyas. Why is it over here that according to Beis Shammai, who holds that Shvisas Kelim is a Nisa Daraisa, why is it that Beis Shammai doesn't aser a person from ever selling a keli to a non-Jew? Just like the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, you're never allowed to sell a behema to a non-Jew, Mishum Shelu Schiros, we have Gzeira, maybe you're going to lend it to him, maybe you're going to rent it to him. So over here also we should say, you're never allowed to sell a keli to a non-Jew, because maybe I'm going to lend it to him, maybe I'm going to rent it to him. So the answer is no. Because even if I lend it to him, and even if I rent it to him, that's never a problem with Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim is only a problem, like the Rosh says, if the Yisrael himself does the malacha. But if the non-Jew does the malacha in my Kelim, even Beis Shammai himself would never have said such a thing. However, when it comes to Shvisas Behemto, like you pointed out, so Shvisas Behemto is l'man yanuach sharcha v'chamorcha. My animals are never allowed to do any malacha, so therefore a person would still have to have a concern in that case. And that's why the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that a person, we make exera that a person is never allowed to sell a behema to a non-Jew. Yeah.
No, that's what I wanted to ask. Why can't you use the same store of a behema? You know, only if it's you started. But if the guy starts it, then it's no problem.
Right. So over there it says, because
No,
it's not the same. Over there it says l'man yanuach sharcha v'chamorcha. Over there the lashon is my animals are not allowed to do malacha, and has nothing to do with who's doing it. It's just that they have to rest. Okay. So. Halacha l'maisa and Shulchan Aruch some ration on Beisif. Hey, we paskin like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. We believe that there is no Isser Shvisas Kelim Shabbos. We believe my Kelim are allowed to be doing malacha as long as the person is not directly involved in doing it himself. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa points out that based on this halacha that we find in Shulchan Aruch some ration on Beis, what would be the din if a person receives a fax on Shabbos? So would I be permitted, let's say, if I'm in America, and I'm sending a fax to Eretz Yisrael, where they already were Mekabel Shabbos, am I allowed to send that fax or not?
Yeah, because it's not
properly working. So says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, the Pashtus is, that since Shvisas Kelim, we hold like Beis Hillel, and Shvisas Kelim Shabbos is not an Isser, so says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, I'm allowed to send the fax in America on Friday, even though it's going to someone's house in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm making them violate the Isser of Shvisas Kelim, because according to Beis Hillel, there is no Isser of Shvisas Kelim. So that's okay. However, he points out there in a footnote from Rav Shlomo Zalman that a person still has to be careful. Even if he is going to send the fax on Shabbos to someone else, he must be careful that the fax machine does not make noise. I challenge anyone to find me a fax machine that doesn't make noise. What? E-faxes. Okay, but that doesn't come out. But on a regular fax machine as we know it, they all make noise. So he says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shlomo Zalman had a concern that there's still a gzeira of Hashma'as Kol. So over there, so 1 second. What do you mean? The noise is happening in Eretz Yisrael. It's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Right. So that's an Isser of Hashma'as Kol. So over there, the concern is, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you can send the fax because we paskin like Basil that there's no Isser of Shvisas Kalim. However, he says, you have to make sure that the person's fax machine doesn't make noise, which is very unlikely to find such a mechanism where you're not going to have noise coming from a fax machine. I'm not sure. So the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa disagrees, and he says, I beg your pardon, but Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think you're wrong. He says, did you ever find anybody in Eretz Yisrael or anybody in the world who takes their phones off the hook on Friday so that in case someone calls my house on Shabbos, I'm not going to be over on the Isser of Hashma'as Kol? Ever heard of that Chumrah? Obviously not. Why not? Says Reb Neuver, the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, because anybody who hears the phone ringing knows I'm not doing malacha. Everybody knows that somebody else is doing malacha who's calling my house.
You're not taking advantage of that malacha by not picking up the phone.
Okay. No, but the Isser Hashma'as Kol has nothing to do with taking advantage.
What do you mean to take it off?
This is just about the Hashma'as Kol. Why don't I have to take my phone off the hook before? Because the Hashma'as Kol is going to make noise in my house. People are going to think I'm doing malacha. What's the answer? Everybody knows when the phone rings, I'm not doing a malacha. Everybody knows somebody else is doing a malacha and calling my house. So says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, is the same thing over here when it comes to the fax machine. Even if it makes noise, everybody knows I'm not making the noise, I'm not doing the malacha. Everybody knows when you hear the fax machine ringing and printing out a piece of paper, obviously that noise is coming because somebody else is sending a fax to my house. So that's the chiddush of the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa. However, this is not all so simple. it has been pointed out that there is a Rambam who writes in his Pirush to Maseches Shabbos. There's a ksavi out of the Rambam to Maseches Shabbos. So the Rambam writes as follows. Bishamay and Bishilal only have this disagreement of poskimayim legina. Bishamay says there's an Isser Shvisas Kalim. Bishilal say there's no Isser Shvisas Kalim. So the simple understanding, like we said it is, are my Kalim allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos without me doing it? I set up the system and now it's doing Malacha. However, so we gave the example of a sprinkler system, right? If I set up a system, it's going to go on Shabbos. So that should be fine because there's no Isser Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos. However, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, the only time Beis Hillel said it's mutter is if the Yisrael sets up the system and it's already doing the malacha on Friday. The Rambam writes, if you look at those examples in the Gemara, it says, I already stuck my jacket into the dye, and now the dyeing process already set in. So if that continues into Shabbos, so it's called one long hemshech of one maisa, so that would be okay. However, says the Rambam, let's say I set up somehow, he never could have imagined the system of setting up a Shabbos clock, but let's say, that's what he's talking about, let's say I set up a system where the whole malacha is going to begin on Shabbos itself, so what would be the din there? Says the Rambam, even Beis Hillel says that's us. Even Beis Hillel says that's us. Or why? Because the whole heter of Shvisas Kalim Shabbos is only if the malacha began before Shabbos started. But if the malacha is only going to start on Shabbos itself, then everybody would agree that that would be us. Therefore, based on that, Rav Moshe writes in Arachayim, Chelek Dalad, Simon Samach, this is why Rav Moshe did not like Shabbos clocks. So one second. So Rav Moshe said he doesn't like Shabbos clocks because of this reason. Because Shabbos clocks, the whole malacha is beginning on Shabbos itself. It's not that the malacha started before and is carrying into Shabbos. It started on Shabbos itself. The lights go on Shabbos morning in order for me to eat my Suda. So therefore, Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't believe that that's the proper thing to do because of this Rambam in the Pirush on Maseches Shabbos.
Even if we had the light, that's example, before Shabbos on, goes out at night, and the following morning goes on again.
Well, once it stops, so there's no Hemshech.
Well, that's already out of my control. That's the system.
All this is out of control.
And that's how it is. It's made automatic, you know.
No, but you set it up.
You set it up. But if it's set up for it, it starts before Shabbos, then it's a long Hemshech.
No, it's not a long hemshech. So Rav Moshe writes, when it comes to the lights, so he says, maybe there's room to be mekel because there's onig Shabbos and it's going to be very uncomfortable to eat in the dark.
That doesn't address the issue.
What do you mean?
Why does that address the issue? If you're saying it's a problem, why would
onig Shabbos? No, Rav Moshe says we should be machmer for the pirush of the Rambam. However, he says, mishum onig Shabbos, we could accept the pshat of everybody else. That's what he says.
Okay.
So that would be okay. However, my father likes to point out that Rav Moshe only says that would be okay for, let's say, a heater, an air conditioner, or the lights, because that's something that enhances. But let's say to set my sprinkler system to go on Shabbos, that's not enhancing my Shabbos meal. It's not giving me more onik Shabbos. So that's something to think about. Rav Moshe wouldn't say in such a case, presumably Rav Moshe would not say in such a case, that a person has every right just to set up a system in motion before Shabbos, because even according to Beis Hillel, it's not so simple that... Oh, okay. No, but it's your malacha. It's your malacha. Shvisas Kalim. So it's your malacha. So even according to Rav Moshe, that would be something that you would have to think about. Although Rav Moshe is mekel with the lights and the air conditioner and the heater, but when it comes to other things, the person might have to think twice.
What about the chomp that you start Friday night? Why does it have to be cooked, you know, before it can just go on, you know, until the whole Friday night, until Shabbos?
Excellent. So that's what we're getting to. I just wanted to give the background about Shvisas Kalim, but thank you for leading straight into the point. Thank you. So basically what it comes out is, according to all this background, it would seem that on Shabbos there's only an Isser for a person to do a Malacha Bikum Vaseh with his own hands. There's only an Isser for a person to actively be involved in Malacha. However, if a Malacha is just happening by itself, Shvisas Kalim, so we would generally assume that is not considered a Malacha. That's okay, as long as the person is not actively involved. Here is one of those examples where we find not like that. Here's an example where there's something called Bishul Daraisa, and generally Bishul Daraisa would mean taking a pot with food and putting it on the fire. But over here, the Chazal were concerned that maybe if I set up a system in motion before Shabbos, for example, I put a pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it's cooking the food. So Chazal said, you're not allowed to leave a pot on an open flame from before Shabbos and continue into Shabbos itself. Why? Because Gzeira Shema Yechata Bekechala, which means we're concerned maybe you're going to poke around at the coals. And what's going to happen then? So the Gemara tells us in Krisos, maybe you'll be Avraham Mechabe, because while you're poking around, you're going to extinguish some of the coals that are there. Or Mavir, maybe you're going to be Avraham Mavir, because sometimes by poking in the coals, you're going to make it increase the fire, you're going to ignite it a little more. So that's the Gemara's concern. So this is an exception to the rule. This is one of those cases where we find that even though Beis Hillel holds Shvisas Kalim, there's no Isser Shvisas Kalim Shabbos, over here we find an example where Chazal were concerned and they said, Midrabanan, Shehiyah is Aser. Even though, what am I doing? What happened? Shabbos came in, I put the pot on the fire way before Shabbos started, 2-3 hours before. Now it's on an open flame. What am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything via Dayim. All, at best, it's just Shvisas Kalim, and Beis Hillel holds Shvisas Kalim as Mutter. Still, the Chacham were concerned and they went out of their way to make Xeri here and tell me that I'm not allowed to leave a pot on an open flame. They went so far as to say, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, for those who just learned it, that the Chacham made a Chizuk L'Divrehem. They made this a very serious Takana Midrabanan. And they said that if a person is Avar B'Shah, a person who mistakenly leaves a pot on the fire on an open flame and doesn't do what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, he doesn't do the prerequisite steps to actually make sure he's doing it properly. So in such a case, the Gemara tells us that he would be over on an Isser of Shehiyah, and his food would be Usser until Matzah Shabbos. So that is with regard to that. Even though when it comes to Bishul D'Oraisa, if a person really cooks on Shabbos, there's a question whether that's Usser for the rest of Shabbos or not. But when it comes to Shehiyah, the Chachamim were concerned that a person's not going to take the Din D'Rabbanan seriously. And therefore we said if he's Avar V'Shah, if he leaves a pot on the flame, he has to leave it until after Shabbos. Now, how do we pinpoint this Isser of Shehiyah? When can you tell me I did an Isser? What are you going to tell me? The first second Shabbos comes in, so you're going to tell me now I'm being Avar an Isser? What do I do? Right? It's very hard to pinpoint the Isser. Elamai, you're going to have to tell me that I was over the Isser on Erev Shabbos, right? When I put the pot on the fire. What do you mean? There's no Isser Erev Shabbos to put a pot on the fire. I put it on 9 o'clock in the morning. So when is the Isser? So the Chazon Ish has a difficult time trying to figure out when exactly the Isser is. And my father, Seder Soloveitchik, said the same thing. The Chazon Ish writes in Siman Lamed Zayin and Aruch Chaim, obviously a person has to assume that the gether of the Isser of Shehiyah on Shabbos is having the food on the fire on Shabbos. You can't say that Isser was to put the food on the fire on Friday, because what's wrong with putting food on the fire on Friday? So you have to say that the gether of the Isser is having the food on the fire. It's what the Chazon Ish calls is Isser Mitzius Matzav. That's what he says. It's an Isser to find myself in this situation. And therefore the Chazon Ish is Mechadesh, that if a person sees that he made a mistake and he left his food on the fire from before Shabbos and he was over the Isser of Shehiyah, Chazon Ish says, you're going to be over on the Isser of Shehiyah b'chol rega b'rega. Every second of Shabbos that your food stays on the fire, you're going to keep on violating another Isser, another Isser, another Isser of Shehiyah. Not only that, says the Chazon Ish, if a person didn't even put the food on the fire himself on Friday, but he had his maid put it on the fire, or he had whatever, an animal puts it on the fire, whatever it is, his food ends up going on the fire, says the Chazon Ish, I would still assume that I'm over the Isser of Shehiyah. Why? Because the Isser of Shehiyah is to find my food on the fire. What does it make a difference if my maid put it on the fire? Bottom line is, I could walk by the stove and stoke the coals, and I'm going to be over on the Isser of Mechabe Omavir. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, the Isser of Shehiyah is b'chol rega b'rega, every minute, doesn't make a difference who put it on. The bottom line is, every second that Shabbos passes and I have food on the fire without taking the proper steps to make sure that it's done properly, that would be a violation of an Isser. Then says the Chazon Ish, here's the Chiddush. Since I assume that there's an Isser b'chol rega b'rega, says the Chazon Ish, the first second a person sees that his food is on the fire on Shabbos, he comes home from shul, he says, oh, yeah, I made a mistake, I left it on. Says the Chazon Ish, you have to immediately remove it from the fire. That makes a lot of sense, right? So now I'll ask you the following question. How can you tell me you're allowed to remove it from the fire? It's an Isser of Mukta. Why is it an Isser of Mukta? Because as we'll see in a few minutes, the whole Isser of Shehiyah is only when the food is not cooked. So we have raw food here, which is not Roi L'Achila. Nu, are you allowed to go pick up raw food on Shabbos, which is not Roi L'Achila? No, you assume that's Mukta. So the Chazon Ish asks the following question on himself. A guy comes home from shul, and he sees he made a mistake, and he left the food on the fire. Says the Chazon Ish, you have to take it off right away. What do you mean take it off right away? It's muktzah. I'm not allowed to touch it. So says the Chazon Ish, no.
Let it be over one thing. Oh. Continue.
Very good. So the Chazon Ish writes exactly. Kalacha, yeah, what do you mean? Let's say it's a soup pot full to the top. Right? So just push it off. What's a big deal? Your wife will love that. Just push it on the floor. So,
where it's possible.
Right. So where it's not possible, Kalachi Yatza, what do you do? So exactly like you're saying, Chazon Ish writes, which is a big Chiddush, and we'll see in a minute why it's a Chiddush. Chazon Ish writes, it's better to be over one Isser of Mukta. I'm going to pick up the pot, a one-time Isser, than to have a violation of the Isser Shehiyah every single second that the pot is sitting on the fire. Exactly like you said. Which is two chidushim that are really implicit in these words of the Chazon Ish. Yeah.
It's just all assuming that they're
committed. Yeah. So we'll get to in a minute when we're talking about. So there are really two very interesting chidushim that come out from this Chazon Ish, which we'll point out here. One is, the Gemara tells us in Yumen Daf Pei Gimel. If let's say we have a chola who the doctors tell us on Shabbos he needs to eat meat, and we happen not to have any meat around, and the doctors tell us, you know what, he's a chola sheyesh b'sakana, it's very dangerous, if he doesn't have meat he's going to die. Says the Gemara, obviously, shochtan l'chola afilu Shabbos, we are allowed to go ahead and do the Isser of Shechita, we're violating the Isser d'oraisa of Shechita, because the doctors tell us that if he doesn't have meat he's going to die, so fine, so that's what we're going to do. Ask the Rush the following question. The Rush, quoting the Ravid over there in Yuma, Pei Gimel, says, why is it that we go ahead and we violate the Isser of Shechita b'Shabbos? Like you said, why don't we do something a lot easier? Why don't we go to the store down the block, the Treifa store, and ask the Treifa store to give us a couple of pieces of meat? We have a chola here who needs meat. So we have two options. Either we can violate an Isser d'oraisa of shechting an animal on Shabbos for him, which is what the Gemara tells us to do, or we can go to a non-Jew and ask him just to give us a couple of steaks from his freezer. Oh, so one second. So does everyone hear the kasha? Over there, he'll only violate the Isser of Nevela, which is only a lav. And over here, if I shech the animal, so I'm going to violate the Isser of Shechita b'Shabbos, which is punishable with Skila. So that's a question that the Rush has. Says the Rush b'Shem the Ravid, the first heretz is, like you're saying, that sort of it's Hutra. He says, there was never a heter that was given for the Isser of Nevela. The chola is a chola. But over here we have a heter of violating Yisurei Shabbos for the chola, right? Over here it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos we're allowed to heat up water for the chola, we're allowed to write for the chola, we're allowed to do whatever we have to do, we're allowed to turn on lights for him. So says the Rush, B'Shem the Ravid, once Shabbos is Hutra, it's a chola, so Shabbos is Hutra. So why violate the Isser of Nevela? That's not Hutra for him. The Isser Shabbos is Hutra for him. So violate the Isser Shabbos and give him the Basar Shechuta. Fine. So that's what the Gemara, that's what the Rush quotes B'Shem the Ravid. However, the answer that we're going to focus on is the second answer that the Rush gives, which is a little more famous. Says the Rush, B'Shem the Ravid, you're right. You're right that at face value, the Isser of Shechita on Shabbos is Skila, and the Isser of Nevela is only Alav, and it would seem that Nevela is a lot less Chomer than the Isser of Shechita. However, since by going and Shechting the Behem on Shabbos, I'm only going to violate one time, one Isser Skila, and if I give him Nevela, so on every single Kazayas that he eats from the steak, he's going to be ever a separate Isser. Therefore, says the Rush, the Isser Nevela is more Chomer. Even though the Isser Nevela is only Alav, and it's only punishable with Malkus, and over here, the Isser of Shechita on Shabbos is punishable with Skila. Still, he says, if you add up all the kazesim that he's going to be eating of Nevela, that is going to turn out to be a lot more chamer than the one-time Isser of Shechita on Shabbos, which is punishable with Skila. That's what the Rush says. So based on that, the Chazon Ish has this chiddush over here. Like you said, it's better for a person to violate a one-time act of taking something off the fire, even though he's going to be metalto muktzeh of a Shabbos. It's better to do that than to have a violation of the Isser Shehiyah b'chol rega v'rega of Shabbos. So that's chiddush number one that the Chazon Ish has. Chiddush number two that would come out of the Chazon Ish is the following. A lot of times people think that when we have some sort of conflict and we're not sure exactly what to do, so people think sheva tasa adif. Right? That's generally the rule that we assume to be true. You see from this case that that's not always so simple. We don't always just say sheva tasa adif. What do you mean? When it comes to Shehiyah, person comes home from shul, he sees the pot was left on the fire. Shev al tasa, don't touch it. Don't be metaltal muktzeh. Why doesn't the Chazon Ish say shev al tasa adif? Answer is because we don't always assume shev al tasa is the determining factor. Sometimes, we always have to be bocher b'miyat hara. We have to figure out what's the lesser of the two evils. So, sometimes that's going to be b'shev al tasa. Sometimes that's going to be b'kum ma'aseh. We have number two on the sources. The Gemara tells us as follows, an erev in daf kuf. That's really where this comes up. The Gemara says, "Lo yala be'ilam mibod yom." A person is not allowed to go up on top of a tree from before Shabbos v'yeshiv sham kalayom. And what happens, the Gemara says, what happens if a person finds himself there? Mistakenly, he goes up before Shabbos, and now Shabbos sets in and he's stuck on the tree. So the Gemara says, "Tani chadam alam mutter leirid." One brisa tells us, if mistakenly he goes up on the tree and he stays there till Shabbos, he's allowed to come down. But tani chada asur leirid. Amar Avuna Breder of Yeshua Kitanoi. So the Gemara says this is based on the Machlokas Tanoim. What's the Machlokas Tanoim? when I have, sometimes I have certain types of dam that are supposed to be sprinkled four times on the Mizbeach. Sometimes I have dam that's supposed to be sprinkled one time on the Mizbeach. So what happens if these two bloods, these two different bowls of blood get mixed together? So what's the halach in such a case? So this is machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Should I go ahead and sprinkle it four times? Because maybe this is the blood of the four. Or should I assume that only sprinkle once and don't go ahead and do four? What's the question here? So the Gemara tells us that one of them believes it's better to be over on Baltosif, do four times, and if this just so happens to be the one that only needed one sprinkling on the Mizbeach, so it's better to violate Baltosif. And the other one believes, no, Baltigra is better. It's better to only sprinkle once if I was supposed to sprinkle four than to violate Baltosif B'Yadayim. So the Gemara points out over here, the same would apply in our case when a person goes up to an Ilam B'Shabbos, and now he's sitting on top of the tree. So he did the wrong thing, but what's the halacha now that he finds himself there? Should he come down, or should he stay there for the rest of Shabbos? What's the din? So the Gemara, I would have said, if I was given an opinion, I would have said what? Shei Baltasa. Stay where you are, and don't do anything. The Gemara doesn't take that as a consideration. The Gemara says you have to take in other factors. We don't always assume that Shei Baltasa Adif, just like over here, when it comes to the two bloods that got mixed up with each other, we don't assume automatically that Shei Baltasa is better. Sometimes Kumase is better. Sometimes sprinkling four times is better than only sprinkling once. So that's what you see from this Gemara. My father likes to point out, sprinkling once is Shei Baltasa. Because you're safe with once. What? Because you're only doing one. Right, you're not doing four. Yeah. So my father likes to point out the following story. He said that Rav Shach was a member of the Aguda before he started Degelat Torah. But obviously they all held that there was a Misayeli Deover Avera in Eretz Yisrael to be part of the government, whatever that was, their Shita. And nonetheless, Rav Shach got up one year and he said everyone should vote for a certain party in the government. He made a whole big proclamation that he thinks is what everyone should vote for. So Rav Moshe Shturmach at the time was a very young man. Rav Shach was already pretty old. So, and a famous Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Moshe Shturmach wrote an attack against Rav Shach. How dare he come out and support the Treifa Medina, and he tells everyone to go and support the government. How could he do that? So if Na'iver, he's setting everyone up for failure, and they're being over terrible Avera, so how could we be a part of them? Shei Baltasa Adiv, how are we allowed to do this? So Rav Shach thought it was a bizayon for him, as the great Rosh Hashiva, to go and respond to this whippersnapper who decided to send him this nasty letter. So he wrote an open letter, Rav Shach wrote an open letter to the Olam HaYeshivas. And he asked that it be hung in every yeshiva, that people should understand his position. And he didn't write who he was responding to. He just wrote it as an open letter to the world. And he sent it to America, to Reb Schneer Cutler, and asked Reb Schneer to send it out to all the yeshivas as well. So my father said it was hanging in YU, and he was a Talmud. So he remembers seeing this thing, that Rav Shach explained his position. You're right, I agree that the government is terrible and we're not happy with things that are going on. However, when a person is stuck with a dilemma, when he's faced with some sort of problem and he has a conflict and he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, so he always has to be bocher b'miyad hara. He always has to figure out what's the lesser of the two evils. So Rav Shach said, whether you agree with his hashkafa or not has nothing to do with us. But he said the lumdus over here is that we have to be bocher b'miyad hara. And he said, we don't always assume that Shei Baltasa Adif, sitting by the wayside and not voting and not taking a stand and not voting for either of the parties and not having your own ideas in the government, that doesn't help anybody. So he said, it would turn out in this specific situation, that Kum Vaseh is much better, is much more beneficial than Shev Va'al Tase. So that is something that comes out as well from this Chazanish. That's Chiddush number two, that the Chazanish tells us that over here in this case of Shehiyah would turn out, if a person sees that his pot is on the fire and it wasn't supposed to be there, so it's better to violate an Isser B'Kum Vaseh, to take off the pot with his own two hands and violate the Isser Muktzah, than to leave it on and be over the Isser of Shehiyah B'Shev Va'al Tase. So that is Chiddush number two of the Chazanish.
That's muktzah for the person that left it on. Muktzah for somebody else also comes in to leave from that
circle. Interesting question. By Bishul, I know we have that discussion. The Gemara. What? Yeah. By Bishul, I know that's a question in the Gemara and Gittin, and it's not clear what the answer is.
This is lesser.
This should be less. Yeah. I don't know. I have to look it up. Okay, so here's the question. What exactly would be the definition of Shehiyah B'Zman HaZeh? We said that the whole concern of Chazal was Shem Yechata B'Gechala. Maybe I'm going to go and stoke the coals. So nowadays that we don't have coals anymore, so maybe we should assume the Isser Shehiyah doesn't apply. I'll put the pot on my fire, and there's no coals. I'm not going to poke around with the fire, so maybe I should assume it doesn't apply. However, obviously this is not the case, because there's still a concern. Maybe a person's going to go with the dial, and he's going to make the fire either higher or lower. He's going to be over on the Isser Mechaba or Mavir, and we still have to be concerned that a person is going to violate some sort of Isser on Shabbos. Yeah?
That's why you have a blessing. You should be allowed to.
Exactly. So we're getting to that in 1 second. You're great. Best. Great. Means I'm saying it over clearly. If someone's following in the room. Thank you. So let's get into the machlokes here. The Gemara says the machlokes Chananya and the Chachamim. We have a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, where the Gemara says Chananya and Chachamim have machlokes. When is the Isser Shehiyah applicable? It's a complicated sugya, but let's make it simple. The Gemara says Chananya believes if my food is already cooked, Michael ben Drusai. Who is Drusai? He was a Rasha. My father said that Rav Soloveitchik forgot who. Rashi explains over there what Drusai was. He was a gangster, a mobster, a robber who never had time. He was always on the run, so he never cooked his food thoroughly. And he always had it half-baked. It's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, whether half or a third. Okay, whatever. So Drusai liked his food either a third or a half-baked because he was always on the run. He had no time to hang around. My father said that when Rav Soloveitchik was learning the Hilchos Bishul and Shir, so he forgot that that was the Pshat of Michael ben Drusai, and he called him Reb Drusai. He had forgotten what the whole thing was. So he said that basically Chananya believes over here that once my food is cooked, K'maychel ben Drusai, which is the machlokes, the Rambam and Rashi, if that's one third cooked or half cooked, once it's cooked, K'maychel ben Drusai, there is no longer an Isser. Meaning, I don't even have to have a blech. Once it's K'maychel ben Drusai, I'm allowed to leave it on the fire, on an open flame, no blech necessary, everything's fine. Okay? That's the Shita of Chananya. The Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say, no, it has to be Mevushal Kol Tzarko. In order for me to be allowed to leave this on the open flame, it has to be Mevushal Kol Tzarko. It must be cooked to the full extent that it could be cooked. Now, there's a Machlokas HaMarayim, what do the Chachamim mean? Let's say like a Chalent, for example, right? When Shabbos sets in, it's already cooked Kol Tzarko, right? I put it up Thursday night or Friday morning, whatever. It's already Mevushal Kol Tzarko. However, it's mitzdamek v'yavalo. It gets a little bit richer, a little bit tastier if I leave it on the fire a little bit longer. So what would the Chachamim say in that case? Would the Chachamim say, well, bottom line is cooked already, so we don't have to be concerned, maybe you're going to poke around the coals, it's done, it's fine. Or should they say no? Since mitzdamek v'yavalo, since the longer that the chalent stays on the fire, it becomes tastier and better and richer, so maybe the Chachamim still have a concern that as long as it's mitzdamek v'yavalo, you're still not allowed to leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. So that's the machlokas in the Gemara. Some Amoraim believe that the Chacham say, no, once it's fully cooked, it's fine. And even if it's like a chalent and it gets better and better, still it's okay. Why? Because there's no concern a person's going to play with the flames anymore because we assume that the thing is already cooked. And even though it gets a little richer, no one's going to violate an Isser just for that little bit of better taste. Others believe that no, the only time the Chachamim believe that you're allowed to leave something on the open flame on Shabbos is if it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko and it's Mitzdamek Viralo. Like, let's say, I don't know what would be an example. Soup? Oh, so 1 second, we'll get to water in a minute. But an example, I guess, rice, right? The longer you leave rice on the fire, it gets dried out. It's not going to be good anymore. So if that's fully cooked before Shabbos, right? Rice, is that correct? So if that's fully cooked before Shabbos, then the Chachamim would assume you're allowed to keep it on the open flame. Why? Because there's no concern that I'm going to stoke the coals because I don't want it on the fire anymore. Maybe you're going to put it down. Yeah. Uh-huh. So putting it out, so the Chazal, Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva, the Chazal were never concerned that I'm going to put out a fire or I'm going to light a fire, because then, what do you mean, but like that's too much of a mice. But just to make it higher or lower, so that's to play with it a little bit, so that's something that we are concerned about. Based on this, which is what you just said, the Bir Halacha writes in Simur Reish Nun Gimel, that if a person wants to take boiling hot water, he wants to take hot water and leave it on an open fire for Shabbos, that would be permissible if it was already cooked before Shabbos. Why? Because the longer I leave it on there, it evaporates. Why am I getting blank stares? No, does that make sense? The longer I leave the hot water on the fire, so the less water I'm going to have. So I'm not happy that it's on the fire. So therefore, says the Bir Halacha, that would be pashut, that if I just have boiling hot water that I leave on the flame before Shabbos, I don't even need a blech. I could leave the hot water on the flame before Shabbos, and that would be fine. There would be no concern at all, because that's called mitzdamek viralo. That's something that is not beneficial at all for the water to stay on the fire. It's evaporating as we speak. What's the halacha lamaisa? Do we paskin like Chananya or the Chachamim? So that seems to be machlokas harishonim. The Rif, the Rambam, and other Chachmei Svar paskin like the Chachamim, that we go lechumra. It has to be mevushal called tzarcho. However, Rashi, Tosfos, the Gaonim, and the Chachmei Ashkenaz paskin like Chananya, that a person is allowed to be mekol, and once it's cooked, kamacha ben drusai, then I'm allowed to leave it on the fire. Let's look in Shulchan Aruch. This is a very complicated sif in Shulchan Aruch. I took out parts of it because it's just very difficult. You'll see where it says v'chulei means I skipped some of the words or some of the sentences. This is a very, very, very long and tedious sif in Shulchan Aruch. So we'll go through some of it. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph. Here's the halacha l'maisa. Ki reshihi asuya ki kedera. So you have our ovens, bizman hazeh. V'shovsen al piyo kedera l'mayla, and you leave a pot on top of that fire. Aser liten ala tafshel mibod yom la'ashos ala. Okay, that's the issue. Shehiya, a person's not allowed to leave a pot on the fire. Elam kain, unless nisbashel kol tzarcho, v'hu mitzdamek v'ralo. So what's that? First day in Shulchan Aruch is, only time I'm allowed to leave a pot on the fire before Shabbos is, like the Chachamim. If it's mevushel kol tzarcho, if it's totally cooked already, if everything's finished, and it's mitzdamek v'ralo, the longer I leave it on the fire, the worse it's going to get. It's going to be like rice. It's going to get dried out. Only in such a case do I say we have no concern that maybe I'll stoke the coals, because it's going to get worse and worse as it stays on the fire. Fine. Avo, in the special ktsas, v'lo nishbashel kol tzarcho, skip two lines. If it's only cooked a little bit and it's not mevushel kol tzarcho, v'afilu nishbashel kol tzarcho, v'um mitzdamek v'yapalo, chashinon shem yechate, v'asu la'asho so'ala. Fine. So if you stop reading there, Shulchan Aruch passings like the Chachamim, like the Machmir Shita and the Chachamim, that a person is not allowed to leave an open shalant on the fire. Why? Because it's mitzdamek v'yafalo, it gets better and better. But he is allowed to leave, let's say, rice on the fire. Why? Because rice is going to get dried out the longer it stays on. Then, he says, Yesh omrim, shekol shen espachol kamachem en drusai, o shen espachol kol tzarchol mitzdamek v'yafalo, muter asoso agave akiva. He says, however, he qualifies the statement, he says, Yesh omrim, some believe, like Chananya, that once it's mevushel kamacha ben drusai, that is good enough. I can leave it on the fire. Says the Rama, Nogu lahakel kesvar ha'achron. The Rama paskins for Ashkenazim. We have the minig to be meka like Chananya, that once the food is cooked kamacha ben drusai, once it's cooked partially, either a third or a half, that is going to be sufficient, and one is allowed to leave that on the fire from before Shabbos. Look in the Bir Halacha there. Bir Halacha points out the following. He picks up on that line. I'm a Beis Yosef. Asfar Achrono, sorry. So I'm a Beis Yosef. Sheherach Harbi Be'elish Te'adeh. Sehatik Divrei HaRash Shekasef. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Rush, who writes, why are we makel like Chananya? Why do we assume that a person is allowed to leave his food on the fire once it's cooked Kamach Ben Drusai? Says the Rush, Mepnei Sheyisrael Adukim B'mitzvahs Onik Shabbos. Because Klal Yisrael loves Shabbos, we want to have hot food, we want everything to be good tasting, so therefore it's mutter. So the Rav says, no one's going to listen to us if we say it's usher to leave food on the fire unless it's totally cooked. No one's going to listen to us, they're not going to have onik Shabbos, so we want people to have onik Shabbos, and therefore we are allowing them to be mekel like Chananya. Says the Mishnah Berurah, mashmi zeh, dirak mishim zeh l'ratza limchos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it would seem that the Rosh really is not happy with this practice. It would seem that the Rush believes that really a person should be machmer like the Chachamim. But because Onik Shabbos and no one's going to listen to us, so therefore we have to be machmer. We have to be mekel. Look at the bold. Says the Mishnah Berurah Lamaskana here, therefore a person has to be careful. Really, the Chachila, his food should be totally cooked before Shabbos, and only then is he allowed to leave it on the fire. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. However, if you look in the Chazanish very strongly disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, no, Mishum Onik Shabbos is a heter l'chatchila. Because we love Onik Shabbos, because we want people to have Onik Shabbos, therefore we're making l'chatchila that once the food is cooked, Kamaicha ben Drusai, one would be allowed to leave it on the fire from before Shabbos. Now, an interesting shaila is raised by Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shuvas Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis. The Rav Shlomo Zalman raises the following issue. What's the din if a person, let's say Bizman Azeh, we are all accustomed to making Shabbos a little bit early. Even if we don't make Shabbos so early, we still make Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia. So, when's the cutoff point for Shehiya? Let's say we paskin like Chananya. Has to be Mevushal Kamaicha Ben Drusai when Shabbos sets in, and only then am I allowed to leave it on the fire, right? So what would be the halacha? Let's say I'm a Kavu Shabbos an hour early, in the summer. So when I go to shul, or when I come home from shul, it's not cooked Kamaicha Ben Drusai. But by the time Shkia comes around, an hour and a half later, it will be Kamaicha Ben Drusai. So what would you say? Any ideas? I would have said, my gut reaction, before I saw this from Shlomo Zalman, I said, I'm wrong, but I would have said that since the whole concern of Chachamim were that Shema Yechata B'Gachalim, maybe I'm going to play with the fire, so that would still exist. What do I care that at Shkia it's going to be ready? What do you mean? I come home from Shul, it's still light outside. It's way before Shkia. But Lamaisa, if I go over to my oven and I start stoking the coals, I'm going to be over in Issadar Isa, correct? I was Makabel Shabbos on myself. It's Tosefa Shabbos. So I would say that there's still a concern that the food must be ready, Kamaicha Ben Drusai, before Makabel Shabbos, not by the time Shkia sets in. Shlomo Zalman says no. Shlomo Zalman says as long as it's ready by the time Shkia sets in, that would be good enough. And I asked my father what this is all about, so he thought the following. He said that Tosis writes in Megillah, Tosis asked the following, Kasha, how are we ever allowed to blow shofar on Yom Kippur before we make Havdalah? Aye, blowing shofar is a gzera d'rabbanon, Shem Yisak and Klishir, the Gemara tells us in Beitza. So if we have a concern of Shem Yisak and Klishir, how am I ever allowed to blow shofar before I make Havdalah Matzah Yom Kippur? And I didn't even say Al Tachanan Tanu. We're only going to say that in my roof. So what's the story? How am I allowed to do it? So Tosis answers, no. Because since the holy Isra of blowing shofar is only gzera Shem Yisak and Klishir, we don't make gzera applicable bizman Tosefes. Whether it's Tosefes in the beginning of Shabbos, whether it's Tosefes in the end of Shabbos, gzeras do not apply. So therefore, when it comes to this, my father thought that was the pshat in this of Shlomo Zalman. Why should we assume that Kamaicha Ben Drusai, we would permit a person to leave food on the fire, even if it's only going to be cooked Kamaicha Ben Drusai once Shkia sets in? Why aren't we concerned once he comes home from shul and he made early Shabbos, we should be concerned right away that the person is going to violate an Isser of Shem Yechata B'Gachalim? The answer is, because the whole Isser of Shehi on Shabbos is only gzera, Shem Yechata. And gzeras do not apply, like Tosfos says in Megillah, gzeras do not apply in the zman of Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif. That's a big chiddush. And I saw today in the Archos Shabbos that the Chazon Ish writes the same thing. Very, very interesting chiddush, and it's very nogea halacha l'maisa. Now, down to your point, which is the last point we're going to make. What is the din if a person, if a person's food is not cooked Kamaicha Ben Drusai, or a person's food is not cooked Kol Tzarcho, and he wants to have hot food on Shabbos, so does he still have an option? So like you said, the option that you have is Grufa Ketumah. What in the world is Grufa Ketumah? That's the first Mishnah in Parakira, and Shabbos tells us that if you do it, the Grufa Ketumah, Shari. What does that mean? So Grufa is the following. Grufa means that I'm goreif the coals. Means I set them all, I push them all to the side, and if I push the coals to the side, that would be okay. Now, let's translate this into our modern day ovens. What would Grufa mean? I turn off the fire. Right? But in our modern day ovens, if I turn off the fire in the next 3 minutes, there's no heat. The next 5 minutes, whatever. It can't cook anymore. So there's not really no gea. This heter of Grufa really does not help us too much. The time it is no gea is when you have a hot plate, right? A plata chashmalit, like they call it in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe writes the following two reasons why it's mutter to use a hot plate that does not have a dial. A hot plate that does not have a dial, Rav Moshe writes the following. Number one, says Rav Moshe, it's ein derech levashel b'kach. We never take out a hot plate to cook on it. We use a hot plate to heat things up, not to cook on. So Rav Moshe says, that's number one. I'm never going to end up cooking something on it because no one ever cooks on it. Number two, says Rav Moshe, since there is no dial on it, so I have no reason to be concerned of Shema Yechata B'Gachalim. That's what Rav Moshe writes. And that's why a hot plate would be mutter, because that is like Garuf. That's like the coals have been taken away, like the coals have been removed. Right? The same way in Chazal, once a person removes the coals, there's no longer a concern. So it's over here, when there's no dial, so we assume that there's nothing to be concerned about. There's nothing for you to play with. So that's why that would be mutter. The second heter that the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Parakira, number one was Garuf, if you move the coals to the side. Number two is Katum, which means that you cover over Mechasesa, or you cover over the flame. Now, what does that mean, that you cover over the flame. The Rishonim have a machlokes exactly what the point of covering over the flame is. The Ran says, simple explanation, that the reason for covering over the flame is that it should be a heker, that I should remember when I go toward the fire, I should remember, oh, why is there a big piece of aluminum foil on top of this fire? Obviously, it's there because it's to remind me that I shouldn't stoke the coals. So that's what the Ran says. That's the reason for covering over the flame. Rashi disagrees. Rashi over there in the Sugya of Shehiyah writes, the reason why we cover over the flame is because we want to be memayit b'chom. We want that the heat should be a little bit less of a degree of how hot it is. It should be limited. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, what's the pshat in Rashi? Why does Rashi say that you have to minimize the level of the heat? So says the Mishnah Berurah, because I have to be megaladas. By minimizing the level of heat, I'm showing that I'm paying attention. I'm showing that I don't want to cook on Shabbos, and I just want to have a minimal amount of heat to keep my food a little bit warm. Based on this Rashi, the Chazon Ish writes, he doesn't agree with the blechs that we have in our modern day kitchens. We all use blechs that are just a flat sheet of metal. Says the Chazon Ish, is that mamayit b'chom? If I touch this part of the blech instead of touching the grate on the stove, does my hand get any less burnt? No. It's boiling hot. It's not mamayit. Maybe it's mamayit b'chom, a drop, but he says that's not a real significant miyut b'chom. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, I don't agree with the blechs of our times. However, all the other Achronim disagree. Rav Moshe already writes in the Tshuva that he says we have all taken upon ourselves that the halacha lemaisa is like the Ran, that the reason for having a blech and the reason why a blech helps us is because it's a heker, because a person will remember once he sees this fire being covered over by the aluminum. So therefore, that would be permissible. We generally do not hold like the Chazon Ish. There are those in B'nai Brak, obviously, who do follow the opinion of the Chazon Ish and don't use these blechs on Shabbos because they are too thin and they're not mamayit b'chom. One last point to make is the following. What should a person cover over when he wants to leave food on the fire? So we have a blech. Has anyone ever seen the blechs that roll over the front? So what's that about? So Rav Moshe writes, so it's Yodua B'Shem Rabbi Kutler. My father told me that Rav Soloveitchik held the same way, that all you have to do is cover over the dials. You don't have to cover over the fire of Bizman Hazeh. Why? Because the only way to be mechatz b'gachalim is to play with the dials. So Rav Aaron Cutler felt, and Rav Soloveitchik felt the same thing, either remove, nowadays it's very easy to remove the dials from your oven, right? Just take them off, then you can't really move it. What? Oh, so if it's electronics, a little different. So nowadays, Rav Aaron Cutler, I guess not so nowadays, 50th yahrzeit, so whatever. So in our types of ovens, Rabbi Aaron Cutler felt that a person just has to cover over the dials, or nowadays when it's very easy to take them off, just remove the dials and that's good enough. Rabbi Moshe writes in a tshuva that he thinks that is not the most lechatchila thing to do. Rabbi Moshe, number, hey, we're not going to read it now, but you can read it later. Rabbi Moshe writes over there that he thinks the best is to cover the fire and to cover the dials. Rabbi Moshe says, Me'ikar Adin, you don't need to cover the dials because the Gzeiras Chachamim was covering the fire. In the days of Chazal, covering the fire meant you can't play with it anymore. Doesn't matter, Rav Moshe says, the Gzeres Chacham is b'mkom ha'omid. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, l'chatchila, what a person should do is, he should cover both. He should get those blechs that fold over, that he could cover both, or obviously you could take off the grates, or you can take off the dials, that's good enough. But Rav Moshe says, me'ikar adin, even if a person does not cover over the dials, that would be good enough. It's something just to keep in mind, is if a person has a flat stove, nowadays, a lot of people have that the dials are on the top in between the two sides of the grates. So if you're going to cover it over with a blech, a lot of times those dials are going to get burnt because they're made out of plastic. Stop something to be careful of that.
Just a little bit of a reverse question. Maybe silly. The old kiris, you know, if you have the implement, the shovel, whatever you use, if you throw that away, you put it on the roof of your house. So you don't have anything to stir with.
Uh-huh.
It shouldn't be any worse than keeping it on fire.
Could be.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. One last thing that many people are make a mistake about is there's a heter that the Gemara says of kedera chaisa. The Gemara tells us even if I don't have a blech, as long as I throw in some raw piece of meat right before Shabbos, where there's no way that it could possibly be ready for my Friday night meal, so then there's no concern of shehiyah and a person to be allowed to leave that on the fire. Bizman Hazeh, that's a very questionable heter, as my father writes from Rav Henkin. Many Achronim quote this as well. It's a very shaky heter. They quote B'Shem the Chazon Ish as well, that it's shaky, because nowadays, we all have Shabbos meals for 3-4 hours, right? and our ovens are so hot, or our elements are so hot, that even if I put the rawest, most freezing piece of meat into an oven or into some element right before I leave to shul, it's going to be ready by the time I'm eating my Shabbos meal later on. It might not be ready right when I begin, but by the time I'm finishing my Shabbos meal, it's going to be ready. So therefore, this heter of Kedera Chaisa is very questionable, Bizman Hazet, and many believe that the heter does not apply. So obviously the best would be to use a blech, and maybe another week we will talk a little bit about the second Issa D'Rabbanan of Bishul, which is Chazar, a little more complicated, but it's a very interesting thing to look into once we've gone through the sugyas in Masechah Shabbos. I was asked next week to give a shiur about Hilchos Chanukah, so the regular shiur will be all on Inyanei Chanukah for men and women. And the next week I was asked not to give a shiur because it is one of the nights of Chanukah and we're assuming that people are, or should be, partying and busy with their families.
Wednesday, huh?
Or learning at home with their family. I don't know, whatever.
Would you want to come?
Possibly. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to be here that Shabbos and giving another shiur Shabbos afternoon also, Hilchos Chanukah. I don't even know if there are that many topics. But okay, so well, maybe we'll talk. After next week, maybe we'll talk. Okay, so let's just go to the other side of the page. One absolutely brilliant, brilliant insight from Reb Itzla Panovisher. The pasuk says, "Vayira Yaakov od vayetzer lo." It says that Yaakov Avinu was very concerned. He was scared that something terrible was going to happen to him. So if you look carefully, the pasuk tells us two different lashonos of fear. One is Vayira Yaakov od, he was scared. One is vayetzer lo. So the Mefarshim are bothered. What's with this double lashon? Why is he scared twice? What's his double fear? Number two, why is it two different lashonos? Why is it vayira vayetzer? So Reb Itzla Panovisher writes as follows: Kein zem vur b'dasu kenim. Fine, so he was very scared from Esav. Okay, he was nervous, whatever it is. Look at the last paragraph. This is amazing. Just in the interest of time. There were two things that Yaakov Avinu was not Mekayim. Thing number one that Yaakov Avinu was not Mekayim was Kibidav, right? That's the famous Rashi. Rashi tells us all the years that he was away, he wasn't Mekayim Kibidav. Problem number two that Yaakov Avinu was over was in the serve Gilei Arayis. He married two sisters. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. Gilei Arayis. Avos Kima Kol Terakula. So Yaakov now, when it's time in Makom Sakana, he thinks the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to punish him for both things. Number one for Kibud Avayim. Number two for Gilei Arayis. Right. So here the pasuk says as follows: Bezem Meduyek Beloshen HaPasuk. Vayira Yaakov, what's that going on? Dehainu al mitzvahs kibud av aim. Dichsiv, what does it say by kibud av aim? Ish ima v'av tiro. And what's vayetzer lo? What's he scared of? Al iser l'kicha shtei achayus. He was afraid, number two, that he took two sisters and he was arvin the iser gilei arayis. What does it say by gilei arayis? V'ishal achosel l'sikach litzror. That's a lashon of litzror l'galas ervah. So that's why Yaakov Avinu says, Vayira Yaakov meod me lashon a fear of ish ima v'av tiro. Vayetzer lo is me lashon a fear of Litzra legalos erva, that Yaakov Avinu was concerned from these two averis that he was over, maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to get back at him, maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to come through for him and not going to do a miracle for him, and he will die at the hands of Esav. Wish everyone a wonderful evening. We'll see you Shabbos.